Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
I am just a few days away from hopping on a plane to go out to the West Coast. I'm doing 5 cities, 5 tour stops in California, kind of a north to south tour. If you've never come to one of these, you got to come out. They are so much fun. It's a chance for the people who every day are part of the Thinking Atheist community and the local atheist groups, the free thought groups in these particular cities and beyond, get a chance to just come together, have some laughs, make some friends, meet some people, hang out, you know, just be together as free thinkers, where we are surrounded by those who get us and who can relate to us. And I've just never had a bad tour stop ever over the years. We've always had a ball. There's 5 cities coming up in California. Some of these will have a door admission charge or a suggested donation. Others are free. It depends on the city. Some of these venues are having to be paid for. They didn't get them for free, so they have to cover expenses. But it's not bad. It's totally worth it. Sacramento on Tuesday, the 6th of September, going to be at the Reason Center. Wednesday, San Jose, California. That's going to be at Harry's Hofbräu on September the 7th. On Friday night, September the 9th in San Luis Obispo, I'll be speaking at Steinberg Gallery. On Saturday the 10th of September, Riverside, California, Arlington Library. And then on Sunday in San Diego, I'm going to be joined by a comedian named Ian Harris, and we'll be speaking at the Comedy Palace. Now, I'm not a comedian. This is not a comedic set. It's just the venue that we got. And I think it's going to be a great one. And of course, Ian is going to be bringing the laughs. He's opening up for me. All the details on all these events, the venues, the locations, the sponsors, everything you need to know is at thethinkingatheist.com/events. And I will see you in California starting September the 6th. It's going to be a great time. Tonight's broadcast actually sort of came about rather quickly. I was browsing my Twitter feed last week, and I noticed that Jake and Hugo, the host of the Bible Reloaded podcast, were filing a lawsuit against a Christian film company. Wait a minute, that story got my attention. So I went a little deeper, started to read the story a little bit more. I saw that Matt Dillahunty and some others had reposted and retweeted this story. And I had to know more. So today's broadcast, I've actually asked Jake and Hugo from the Bible Reloaded to join me to tell us why they're suing a Christian film company. What's the story about that? And is there a way that if you as an audience member think that the lawsuit has merit, that you can perhaps get behind it and support it? And that's totally up to you, but it's a story I think you're going to want to hear. The Bible Reloaded calls itself a weekly atheist Bible study comedy show, and they use irreverent humor as they explore holy texts and the promotional materials that often come out of the church. We're going to find out more about that right now with Jake and Hugo from the Bible Reloaded, who join me on the radio. It's great to have you guys.
Thanks for having us on.
There are a great many people in my audience I know who are just now being introduced to you. I've given a short introduction, but you're a little bit more toward the edges of the envelope. Certainly, you guys have a certain flavor of show that handles a certain kind of topics. Flesh it out for us.
Okay, so I guess primarily we are an atheist Bible study. And so far, we have read straight from Genesis 1:1 all the way to – we have like one more episode of Ecclesiastes to do, and then we're moving on. We've read every single book in order, so no one can take us out of context, if you will. You know, that old argument. But it's – that's like 5% of the actual content, maybe 10. I mean, we do it. It's like the backbone. But mostly it's comedy and Hugo and I just kind of bullshitting with each other. It's a really good time. We also do Chick Tracks, which are Christian evangelical comic books, which are just crazy. And most notably, I think, our movie reviews, which is actually why we're here today.
I was just going to say, basically, our movie reviews always focus on those bad, bad Christian movies. God's Not Deads, if you will, all that kind of stuff. And Christian Mingle and the Cristiano Brothers movies.
Christian Mingle specifically was like an hour and a half ad for their website. It was great.
I didn't realize there was a feature film.
It's available on Netflix if you're interested, and it is garbage. I mean, it's like it's got one of the girls from Mean Girls, if you're familiar with it. We know you're a big Mean Girls fan, Seth.
Not exactly my demographic. Yeah,
right.
Sorry,
yeah.
Fill me in.
But some people, especially from our demographic, would definitely recognize her as the girl who tried to make fetch a thing. You don't understand that, but don't worry. And it's just utter. It's so vapid, and it's so surface level. Like the guy gets mad at her because she's not Christian enough, and then that's the strain on their relationship. Genuinely trying to be super.
That's
Christian.
The source of conflict in the plot.
Yep. And it's not even that she's not Christian. It's just that she's not quite as much of a Christian as him. It's beautiful. It's a great fucking movie. It's hilarious.
It's funny. I was had the God Awful Movies guys on a while back, and we did A Matter of Faith. And I went to go see a horror movie. Now, granted, it was a PG-13 horror flick called Lights Out.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who played the father, this sort of sanctimonious dad in A Matter of Faith, mm-hmm. played for about 10 minutes in the opening scenes of Lights Out, in this horror film about, you know, evil supernatural spirits and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, you know, he's one of those rare actors who appears to be climbing up the ladder of notoriety instead of sliding down.
Yeah. Well, good for him, I guess. He was really bad in A Matter of Faith, though. I remember him. I hated his character. He was a jerk. The acting wasn't that great either, but I guess good for him. Yeah. I'm happy for anyone who does better things.
I know you guys could probably talk film with me all day, and I'd be happy to do it, but that's not why we're talking today. I was watching kind of a Twitter thread with you guys about a lawsuit, and as we walk people through this story, I want to make sure that we're properly explaining the groups, the entities involved, and the terminology. So if you say DMCA and a DMCA violation, I want to make sure that we're explaining to our audience what we're talking about.
Sure.
Terms relating to fair use and copyright and whatnot. So someone start me at the beginning of this story, if you would.
So the DMCA, first of all, stands for Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and I believe that was signed by Bill Clinton. And it started out ideally as something to help protect copyright holders in the new millennium with the internet. And this was around the time Napster was a big thing and people started to pirate. Now, years later, it's become sort of a boogeyman on places like YouTube, because what the DMCA allows content creators to do is send notices, blanket notices to you, and say, we believe you have some sort of copyrighted material in your video, so take it down. And YouTube, 9 times out of 10, I would even say 99.9% of the time, mm-hmm. listens to them and takes down the content without even looking at it. Now, this is a problem for people like us, people like the Nostalgia Critic, anyone who does any sort of review where you might use small clips of the movie. Now, we're legally allowed to do this under what's known as fair use. Copyright law allows for fair use of small snippets and stuff of copyrighted material as long as it's being used for comedy, satire, review, criticism, or education, as long as it's basically not the primary thing in the video. For instance, in our videos, we're talking over it the whole time. Occasionally, we'll show clips to show how bad the acting is or to show a strange action, but the video itself is us talking. And we've dealt with this before. We've probably had 10 to 15 different DMCAs, but usually it's done by a bot. This is another problem on YouTube, that it's all bots and there's no human oversight, but that's another story. We've always in the past, though, been able to bounce back a counter DMCA notice, and in doing so, get the strike or whatever removed, because every time you get a DMCA, you get a strike on your channel. One strike, at least this was the old system, it recently changed. One strike, you can't upload videos longer than 15 minutes, and you can't do live streaming. Two strikes, you can't monetize at all. And three strikes, your channel gets deleted.
Which is huge, because our channel specifically, like, one Bible study episode ranges from 20 to 35 minutes, depending on the content we're going with. The chick tracks that we do usually run about 40. The movie reviews can run up to an hour. It's quite common to be in the 50-minute range. So basically, one strike is crippling to our channel specifically, and a lot of other channels that base their entire channel on review. There's a lot of movie review channels such as like yourmoviesucks.org, which is hilarious. Nostalgia Critic, like Hugo mentioned, Brad Jones, the Cinema Snob, where they'll take these older movies or these kind of campy movies and poke fun at them. Sometimes there's critical cinema review. There's a lot of those. But usually it happens to be the negative reviews that get flagged, which is no surprise necessarily. However, filing a false DMCA at someone because of a review they do is technically perjury under the law. You're supposed to review the material that you are considering filing a DMCA for critically and slowly and deliberately, and then you are able to do so. As Hugo mentioned, YouTube has a history of siding with the person filing the DMCA. It wasn't if you were necessarily, let's air quotes, convicted of DMCA abuse. It was just if you were accused of it, you got a strike. Now, that recently changed, which is fortunate because we did a series of movie reviews on the Cristiano Brothers, the Cristiano Film Group, or 5 and 2 Pictures. And you mentioned the movie earlier. The first film we ever did from them was, in fact, A Matter of Faith.
I'm actually looking up, I see christianfilms.com. Is that the same one? Cristiano Brothers is christianfilms.com?
Yes.
Watch family-friendly and Christian movies online. They've got some gems like God's Compass, Find Your True North, Ties That Bind, Revelation Road, and a whole bunch of others listed.
On christianfilms.com, the Cristiano Brothers, they have a hell four-pack for $24. You get four films based on the concept of hell for you and your family.
Does the lawsuit involve a specific film or what?
It involves all of the films that we've done, which is four at this point. We reviewed Matter of Faith the first time, and we really that's where the story begins of this whole thing, because we reviewed Matter of Faith and we did it in the same fashion we do all the other ones. We use short clips. Most of it's either stills or no audio clips in the background or other pictures that we use just to illustrate whatever's going on. And we're talking over the whole thing, reviewing it, critiquing it, whatever, making jokes at their expense. And we got a DMCA. And this was, what, I want to say almost 2 months ago at this point?
It was April. It was in April. I checked it out.
April.
And what happened was we found the DMCA. This one happened to come with an email address, though, from the Cristiano Brothers, their company at least. So I emailed them and said, hey, can you please remove the strike? This falls under fair use. Now, this began a journey. I've talked about this several times before, so I'm not going to go super in-depth. But basically what happened was it was like a 2 or 3 day email back and forth between their media representative, their social media representative, who we've come to know as the pirate guy. The reason for that, the reason is because for a while he was stonewalling us completely, and he was not listening to me. He was refusing to even hear me out. He wasn't emailing me back. So I found him on Facebook, and he is a pirate aficionado. He dresses like a pirate. He goes to like pirate LARPing events. His Facebook cover photo is like a thing, a poem about being a pirate. Like, this dude is all about pirates. And hey, if pirates are your thing, that's cool. But I happen to hate this dude, so I chose that to call him the pirate guy.
Yeah, he's not a good dude. And by the way, Hugo, you, for the purposes of the lawsuit, you had just shared with me every email you exchanged with the guy. Yeah. You sent me 52 screenshots.
I think I missed a few also, but yeah, that was most of them. It was crazy. And actually, I ended up getting in contact with Dave from 5 and 2 Pictures, who's one of the founders. He's Dave Cristiano. He was actually surprisingly a nice guy. He heard me out, and it could have been a facade, in fairness. Maybe he was just using the employee as a puppet to say the mean things he wanted to say, but he seemed like a decent guy, at least in the emails. And we came to an understanding. He decided to remove the strike. Now, then he passed it back over to Pirate Guy. More emails ensued. Pirate Guy clearly has a grudge against us at this point. He is mad. He claims we are harassing them, and it is like libel, all ridiculous claims, obviously. And then he finally, after I had to teach him how to do his job, he removed the strike because he was like, oh, it takes 2 weeks to remove a strike. We've had plenty of these. We know it doesn't. I literally had to send him instructions how to do it. So this is a person who is either lying to me or is the worst person at their job I've ever seen.
Yeah. And by the way, in the conversations you had with the Cristiano brother, we had come to kind of a, we'll call it a professional understanding. you discussed film with them. You guys kind of bullshitted a little bit, had like a little powwow, kind of connected over a few things. And we decided that, hey, we're still going to review your movies. I mean, it's content for the our show, and frankly, our fans really want it. But we're going to do you a solid, because he felt Dave felt pretty strongly about using moving images from the film. He felt like that was he put a lot of work into it, and he's like, I don't know if I want people to see it all like that. So we're like, hey, we'll use just still images, and we'll be very limited on audio, hardly at all. We actually went two movie reviews without using any audio, and then we did one where we had like two or three clips. But by the way, all still images. Which you could farm off Google, but we just – I mean, we had the films. We owned them, so we could just, you know, rip them and do that that way. And this was all agreed upon in April, and then we got it resolved. It took a couple weeks, really limited our channel for a while, and then it was just silence, dead silence. We went on to do our jobs. Everything was good. We hadn't gotten any DMCAs. And then the other day – Hugo and I sit down to record one of our many episodes from our various channels, and I got an email right before recording, like 2 minutes before we start actually recording, and it's a letter from YouTube, an email from YouTube, and it says, hey, you have 5 DMCAs all at once, which is bad. Consider the strike thing we mentioned earlier. They moved it around a little bit. Since that previous strike and these 5 right now, YouTube, I think they have an extra strike. Is it up to 4 now, or is it up to 5?
It's 4.
It's 4. I'm not convinced Pirate Guy doesn't know this, because he went one extra just in case to kind of bury our channel. Basically, our channel gets deleted if all these go through. But YouTube, in a surprising move, came out on the side of creators. And if anyone knows any YouTubers, this is rare. This doesn't ever happen. But the email read, hey, you have these 5 DMCAs, but our team finds you in fair use. Doesn't find you in violation of DMCA at all. Here's all the information. Keep in mind, nothing's going to happen to your channel right now, but they could pursue further, and then we'll see what happens.
I'm not sure I understand they're notifying you that someone did a filing of 5 DMCAs,
yes,
but they have no plans to take action unless
YouTube
the
doesn't.
Filer. Yeah.
Right.
YouTube has no plans to proceed unless the filer turns up the heat in some way.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's a DMCA notice, and then they have up to, I think it's 30 business days or something to formally file DMCA, like a court of law, and then YouTube would take action.
It would be, I think it'd be a cease and desist or something. It's different than the DMCA itself. It uses elements of the DMCA, but they still filed the DMCAs. It's just that YouTube isn't recognizing them because they believe they are false.
Let's take a second then and clarify. You're not reproducing the films for the purpose of reproducing the films. This is editorial content. It looks to me like they haven't filed DMCAs against the people who might be positively reviewing their films, right?
Correct. I've actually, there's this one guy, I guess I'm not going to specifically name him, but he seems like a nice guy. Reviews Christian films in usually a positive light. He recognizes, though, when they're bad. He's done some Cristiano Brothers films, including A Matter of Faith, which I think used about as many clips as we did. His is still up, and it's been up for at least a year. So clearly, they're targeting people who say negative things about them.
Right.
And taking their note. Not only that, but 2 of the DMCAs they sent us in the 5 weren't even movie reviews. They were us talking about the DMCA they gave us. And in those, we use no clips, no audio, no even still images of any of their films. They were blatantly false because they just did them because they thought it would help take our channel down.
How can they file a DMCA against you if you're not using any clips, even your own? It makes no sense.
Right, exactly. I mean, under the law, that's illegal. It's perjury and targeted harassment. But all you have to do in the YouTube system is you find a video, say, hey, this is a DMCA violation. You fill out your information, including name, email, company you work for, the company you are working on their behalf, and the date, phone number, all contact information, which is great because that way we know who's doing this to our livelihood, basically. And then underneath, there's a more detailed situation where you have the video in question, a link to that video, and then there's an opportunity for the person to say, okay, what movies are they or what content? It could be another YouTube video. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a movie. It could also be music. what content are they taking this from? So in this case, one of our DMCA videos was like Time Changer or something. Or what's the one with the Hey Scotty Jesus Man? Second Glance. Second Glance. So they said that we use Second Glance, which is a movie we haven't reviewed yet. We're saving that for the last because it's one of their more infamous ones. And it was just us talking about the DMCA, and then it gives you an option for, okay, what part of the YouTube video are they reproducing this? And it said whole video. All of them said whole video, implying that – because you can put timestamps, implying that we're just uploading these films wholesale without commentary, without anything.
More than implying, they're declaring it.
Right.
Whole video, right? The entire project was stolen by you and reproduced elsewhere.
It's crazy illegal to do that.
It's the same guy, by the way. It's Pirate Guy again. It had his name in there again. So the same guy. By the way, we also, in the email exchanges, and I have these saved and all that, I said to Dave, because like I said, Dave's a nice guy. I was trying to advise him because clearly I knew more about YouTube than he does. I get it. He's a filmmaker. I'm a YouTuber. We have different things we're good at. I said to him, hey, the guy you have handling your DMCAs isn't following the law and he doesn't really understand it. And he holds a grudge against people. You should probably, I advise you to maybe find someone else. And look what happened. On the behalf of Dave and his company, now Pirate Guy has broken the law five times in a row. And there's no defense for it. He knew this was going to happen at some point. I don't understand. I really don't.
Do these guys not realize that even Ray Comfort apparently enjoys your skewering and lampooning of Ray Comfort's films, which I read on a Friendly Atheist article. I thought, well, that sounds like Ray, right? There's no such thing as bad publicity. He actually seems to like it when you guys go after his films.
Right. We had done Evolution v. God, and we're going to do his new one, The Atheist Dilemma, when it comes out on YouTube. But yeah, he actually got into contact with Hugo and sent him a present.
Yeah, it was funny because his company actually false DMCA'd us as well at one point. However, when it actually got to Ray that had happened, he got it reversed. In that video, we also used no clips of his movies and stuff. And he sent me a fruit basket with some really nice stuff in it. And was like, no, seriously. And on the like the little note on the package, it was like, hey, I apologize. You can review whatever you want. Like, I disagree with Ray on 99% of things, but that is a classy move on his part. That was super nice of him.
It was great.
I just keep thinking of Ray at the Reason Rally when he was out there with his atheist movie banners. And I thought to myself, that's brilliant, Ray. Let everybody else do all the promotional work, spend all the money, do all the organizing, make all the sacrifices. And then you just hang on at the outer membrane of the event and ride their coattails into promoting your own film. That's classic.
He's so good at that kind of stuff, isn't he? Ray Comfort, man, he's a real professional when it comes to
Let me come back to the Cristiano brothers. So you guys are actually taking somebody to court. Is it the entire organization, an individual? What are you doing?
It's the entire company, the Cristiano Film Group, because he is an employee on behalf of them, and we've gone through this before. They're all culpable in this situation. So, yeah, we're taking the company itself to court for filing false DMCAs, five of them, because of the harassment and also because of the possibility of it literally destroying our jobs. This is a recognized business. We made an LLC out of it. Yes, it's YouTube, but it's our jobs. It's our lives. I pay my bills and feed my family with this job, and they directly attacked it. It's not okay. And beyond that, just the principle of the thing, this film company specifically and Pirate Guy, as he is named, is notorious in YouTube circles, especially atheist ones, for falsely DMCAing any negative review of any of their work. And we are just barely big enough to do a thing about this and maybe set some precedent in court, because a lot of these YouTubers, like maybe they'll have like 1,000 subscribers or a very small following, even up to 10,000. That's not really enough clout to actually get anything done. You just kind of have to capitulate. Even the cinema snob Brad Jones, who is he owns his own website. This is his job. He got a false DMCA from them for Matter of Faith, or was it?
He did Crime of the Age.
Crime of the Age, yeah, that's right. And even he capitulated. He's like, okay, I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to take the movie down, the movie review down. And that's what he did. But we're, frankly, very tired of this. This isn't our first rodeo. We've gotten plenty of DMCAs. We've won every single one of them. And we're talking over a dozen. Just over the last year and a half, really, is when this got really bad. And the entire YouTube community, whether they're atheists or not, have been dealing with this kind of stuff from huge corporations. So yeah, it's time to stand up, because it's wrong to do. They're bullying people into compliance and skirting around dissent and negative opinions of their films. It doesn't make any sense to shut down free speech for the sake of this.
What do you want out of this? I mean, are you looking for a settlement? Do you want them to to remove the DMCAs? What do you want?
We are not looking for a settlement. We're looking to set precedent. Hopefully in the course of that, that company can get hit hard enough as far as monetarily, hopefully in damages, but at least in legal fees, that they stop doing this kind of stuff. And other companies look around and go, whoa, this mid-level, like, we are YouTube lower middle class. Yeah, I mean, we have like 100, just under 140,000 subscribers, which isn't small, but I mean, we're nowhere near the upper stratosphere. I looked the other day on a website called Social Blade, and they rank you. We are the 21,000th largest YouTube channel. But the community has rallied around us in fantastic ways, and not just the atheist community. Again, this is bigger than that. It has really nothing to do with secularism or atheism or belief in God or whatever. We've had YouTubers, huge ones, Philip DeFranco, a YouTuber called Scarce, millions of subscribers speaking out against this because they've dealt with fair use. Maybe not against the Cristiano brothers or a Christian film company in general, but just DMCAs. And the abuse of that system. And it's just got to stop.
I want to make a couple of things clear. First of all, I'm all about the importance of proprietary information about brands, about content. I'm a content producer, as you
right.
are. And it's,
same.
I think, important to know the difference between someone just stealing what you do outright for their own gain or for their own ends or to misrepresent or perhaps even imitate you, who you are, what you do. Mm-hmm. I've had people try to imitate my pages. You know, they'll steal the logo and they'll go create a thinking atheist something somewhere. And they're like,
we have that.
You guys have had that happen?
We actually, yeah, we do. You could, if you search the Bible Reloaded on Google, somewhere on the first page, you'll find a Christian website that basically does a mirror of ours, and they even stole pretty much the logo.
You do all the heavy lifting, you do all the creative work, you spend all the countless hours putting it together,
yeah.
and somebody else just right clicks, and then they go off to impersonate you. I think that's something that can and should be protested. I've protested it in my own. I don't want people to stumble upon another page that's got the thinking atheist on it, the icon, and
absolutely.
Think they're on our pages, that they're not, they're misrepresenting, they've stolen somebody else's work.
Correct.
But I've also had people editorialize on work that I've done, and they'll grab clips and whatnot, and I totally get it. That is fair use, yeah. and it's covered legally out there.
I would rather they took our reviews of their movies and watched them and commented over top and was like, well, this isn't what we were going for. You're wrong here, here, and here. I disagree here. I am totally fine with that. Like, if they did like a riff track style thing where they sat down and watched the whole review and recorded over top of it, more power to you. Please do that.
And then you could do a review of their review of your review.
It would get meta.
And you got tons
it would
of
get
content.
So meta.
Second point I wanted to make was I understand and support completely the usefulness of punitive damages. When I said, are you guys wanting a settlement? I understand that for many organizations, a slap on the hand, a hey, don't do this, isn't going to stop them. There has to be some sort of a punitive penalty in place. In many right. cases, it is financial. They'll only stop if they fear the next time they do it that they're really going to get hurt in the purse strings. And I think that does have merit. So I wanted to draw a circle around it. You guys are going after a specific number. I mean, what is the lawsuit hoping to achieve, and what do you need from us?
Well, I won't say that as far as what we hope to gain in damages has a specific number, but what we will need for legal fees, according to the lawyer that we're working with, who happens to be kind of very active in the digital copyright circles. He's like the go-to guy for YouTubers right now. And he suggested that $100,000 should, unless it went to Supreme Court, which I don't think they have a nearly a strong enough case to do it. But this would cover us through a trial and a possible appeal, which is totally doable and foreseeable. $100,000 would get us there. Now, right now, I didn't look today, actually.
I have it up
right
now.
What's our total at right now?
In how many days? In 4 days, our GoFundMe
which has been helped out by a lot of big YouTubers and stuff, is now sitting at $67,517.
I got to be the Philistine for a second. What if somebody's sitting on the sidelines going, all right, how do I know you didn't go out and hire Saul Goodman, you know, Better Call Saul, on for a buck and a half, and you're going to pocket the rest of it? You know, is there some sort of a paper trail? You know, I want to make sure that there's some accountability in place before I ask people to go and support this. So,
yeah, of course, we're going to be transparent as things go forward. Our plan moving forward, when we don't know what's going to happen, but our plan is to take the money from this and cycle it back into the system of helping protect people from false DMCAs, whether that's through a nonprofit organization or something else. We're not sure yet, because bear in mind, this started like 5 days ago, you know, so we haven't ironed that stuff out.
And I don't actually have a single dime of any of this. And for all intents and purposes, it's really the legal team's money until the end of the trial. But the intention is hopefully that we will recoup the legal defense fund and whatever damages we have, which hopefully can hurt them enough to make them stop.
And the other film companies watching in the wings are probably really interested in what transpires next.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, a lot of YouTubers are thinking that this could really, really help the future climate of YouTube and the DMCA and stuff. Also, there's another this is the only one I know of right now that's going against an actual film company. But we do have another peer in the YouTube community, H3H3 Productions, going through a lawsuit. Actually, they're on the defense. We're on the offense here. But they're on the defense against someone filing false DMCAs like a personal thing. So it's like YouTuber to YouTuber. And so we're kind of the yin and yang of this. If both of us win our cases, this could really, really make YouTube a much healthier place for content creators in the future. And that's why we're not really interested in seeking a settlement necessarily, because it's not really about money for us. It's about making sure our jobs are secure in the future and also other people's jobs and just content creation in general, because fair use and DMCA, it really is a free speech issue. This is First Amendment stuff. And it's extremely important, especially when we have this – we kind of have this culture right now where we're kind of trending towards maybe you can't say this or that, or you can't talk about a certain person or a certain topic in a certain way. We're not really for that. We are for the free exchange of ideas in a healthy marketplace, and that right now – on the internet has been YouTube for the most part as far as content creation is concerned. This is really – the avenue in which, if you are going to not just make a living, just get people to see your stuff, whether or not you monetize that is irrelevant. It's YouTube right now. And that's where companies are abusing this. So if we can move forward and win this thing, which we believe we have an extremely solid case, given that two of the DMCAs didn't have any other content, we should be able to really help a lot of people.
It's the undiscovered country. When you bring an attorney into the mix, we're looking at billable hours. We're looking at a measure of responsibility. Everybody's watching. I understand the financial weight of much of this and the reason that you would ask other people to sort of pitch in if they were on your page. And I think that's the big if here. If this is the kind of thing that resonates with you, if you see the problem and you want to support these guys, where would they go to do it, guys? Would they go to a specific website or your page or what?
You could go to
GoFundMe.com/TBR Defense Fund, no spaces.
GoFundMe, I'm typing it in. me.com/TBR Defense Fund.
Correct.
Yes.
And there you can see all the things. We also we lay out on the front page kind of our monetary goals. This should cover our appearances if necessary, because we live on opposite sides of the country. So it would go into travel, which of course would add up to legal fees that we could be reimbursed for and then put in back into the system. It also covers the lawyers, the entire legal team, because it's not just one guy. It's going to be several people working on this. In fact, they've been advising us since day one without any money so far on good faith. So it's a very good, solid legal team right now. The $100,000 is the overall goal. This covers us in case they appeal and it's granted. Because other than that, we could run out quick and they could just outspend us. And that's the real fear. Like, for instance, Matter of Faith alone made over $350,000. Yep. So we are little guys. Like, for instance, Hugo and I just broke the poverty threshold personally last year. You know what I mean? Like, people think YouTubers, they're professional YouTubers. Oh, that's PewDiePie. That's Markiplier. That's millions of dollars. No, we work really hard. I get it. Our chief export is dick jokes and reviews of Christian movies. I understand. But the 5,000 initial booster to really get everything rolling with the legal papers and the retainer and all the things, we would have to spend several months saving between the two of us, not to mention just our day-to-day bills that we pay with the money that we have anyways. It wouldn't have been possible without the amazing support of the community and our fans. And so
– no, I totally get it. I mean, yeah, people benefit from the use of a specific page or community, and many times it helps if those people can get behind that host, content producer, or community, and you guys could use the help. In fact, if any of our listeners at this moment are interested, I will put the link in the description box of this show, or you can just go to GoFundMe.com/TBR Defense Fund. And help edge them toward quickly, hopefully toward their goal of $100,000 plus for legal fees. And again, you guys will be sort of telling us how those funds are appropriated and whatnot. I can't help but wonder if that guy is going to show up in court with like an eye patch and a parrot.
That would be amazing. Someone asked me the other day on Twitter, can you film this? Because I'm really hoping for a fight between the lawyer and the pirate guy, like a duel during the big crescendo at the top of the case, like a real movie.
You know what? That sounds like the plot of a ChristianFilms.com kind of thing. I mean, of course, the pirate guy would win. But, you know, it always seems to end in a kind of debate, a mano-a-mano against the atheist somehow.
So. And for the record, I think in the court papers, if we win I'd like when the Cristiano brothers inevitably make this film adaptation, I'd like to play myself, and I think Hugo would like to play himself. The acting threshold is not that high. I think we got this.
I'd like to one day tag along when you guys do a Chick Track review. I've got a thing about Chick Tracks. Grew up with them. Halloween, every Halloween, there was always about three houses that didn't give us candy, but they threw those damn things in our paper sacks, and I was always pissed off and a little bit terrified by them. You know, I was just a kid, but you know, there's a lot of hellfire and damnation and whatnot. How many Chick Tracks have you guys done over the years?
Oh, geez. What a big question.
60, maybe 60 something.
Yeah, it's been 70. It's been a lot of them. Let me see if I can find that
one day. You know, you come across an extra one and it brings my name to mind. Just if your people call my people, we'll get together and we'll review a Chick Track together. I would love to be involved in that. That just sounds like a ball.
We'd love to have you. 64. Right. How about that?
And this guy's been at it for decades. It is some of the most terrifyingly vacuous propaganda.
It's great.
I don't know who's the target market. I mean, it seems in many ways they're going after children, but the way they're drawn, the way they're written, it almost seems like they're kind of thing you drop off at a truck stop or something.
Well, you know, it's hard to know. For instance, the first one we ever did is called Unloved. I found it in a McDonald's bathroom in the stall. And it was just sitting on top of the toilet paper dispenser, apparently just in case anyone wanted to read it or use it, depending on how you feel about these. And it was about a suicidal guy that his family just didn't love him, and he had like AIDS or something, and he was going to jump off a bridge. And then a guy comes by and is like, hey, Jesus loves you. And he's like, oh, I guess I won't kill myself now. And then he goes home and doesn't he die like right after that?
He dies of AIDS like real quick. Yeah. And that was the air quotes happy ending.
Yeah.
Because he used to hand this stuff out to young kids when I was growing up. It's just terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's awful. But yeah, we've had people like Matt Dillahunty, Arn Raw. We've also had a talking cat that was on there.
So you've had everybody but me then. Well, thanks.
Pretty much.
I appreciate y'all
you're
thinking
last on
of
our
me.
List. You're very dead last.
I'm the scab that will one day come in and fill in when nobody else is available. I want to watch this story. I'll be certainly sitting in the periphery watching to see what happens. If there's anything else we can do for you guys, just let us know. And I'll again put those links in the description box. And if anybody wants to join in and help support this so that these guys can produce editorial content without having their time and energies wasted and potentially their channel threatened by people who essentially, I think, just want to insulate themselves from criticism, then this, I think, is a worthy endeavor and something worth supporting. So you guys keep us in the loop as you move forward, and we'll see what happens, all right?
Thank you so much, by the way. We really, really appreciate this. The entire community has been kind of surrounding us and really helping out. So even if you can't spend the $5 on GoFundMe, because that's the minimum, just, you know, any retweets or shares or anything is greatly appreciated. And if you can't afford it, please don't do it. We've had people being like, I don't have any gas money this week, so I'm going to walk to work, but I gave you $5. Just don't do that. It's fine. Like, just use your car. We'll be around. Maybe you'll win the, you know, a bet or something, and then you can kick us five. It's fine.
Hugo and Jake from the Bible Reloaded. Again, it's GoFundMe.com/TBR Defense Fund. And all my best, guys. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thanks.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.